Distractions. Have you ever tried to visit with someone in a room where a TV was on? You would say something to the individual. Who knows if they perceive what you said, but then they look at the TV. It isn't just something that is altogether profitable, perhaps sometimes, when you try to do that. Even if you go to a sick room in a hospital, yes, they have the TV going. Yes. And I was in a home. There was supposed to be prayer offered, and the TV was going. I think possibly could it be turned down, and I believe they turned it off. But distractions. Take, for instance, a child at school that is distracted, and the teacher is trying to teach. As she's teaching, she discerns that this particular child is not paying attention to what she has to say, that they're distracted with something else. So when she comes to a point, she says to this child, "You repeat what I just said." And he's speechless. He's been distracted. Yes. I rode on a bus one time from Oklahoma City through Stillwater on into Tulsa. And the driver had an emergency stop. Apparently he was sick. And he come back, and after we were on the way again, he had his cell phone, and he would keep texting. He'd look at the road, and he would do some texting, and he'd look up, and I was relieved to get off of that bus. So, distractions. In this 21st century, there are many. Distractions. There are things that can hinder people spiritually, yes, by being distracted. Now, it's important for individuals to know why we are here. What is our purpose in life? In Revelations, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse, it gives the answer to why we are here. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So humans are created for God's pleasure. Now the enemy is the master of distractions, and he does not want those who are unsaved to get saved, and he has distractions for them.
That's right.
Also, for those who are saved and endeavoring to live a saved life, he endeavors to distract them. But if you keep focused on your purpose for being here, was not to make money, was not to attain a doctor's degree, it was not to fulfill fleshly desires.
Yes.
The purpose for our existing is to bring pleasure to our Creator.
Amen.
And the enemy does not want that to be the focus of our life.
Yes.
My relationship with God should be the most important thing in my life. The day that I leave this life, when my heart beats for the final times, when my breath ceases to come, before that, What is the most important thing then? Have I brought pleasure to my Creator?
Yes.
Have I lived in a way where my relationship is totally clear?
Yes.
Would it be important at that time how much money I've accumulated, how much education I've had, how many things that I have fulfilled in my life? It is important to keep focused.
Yes.
And not distracted by the things of this life.
Amen.
Mary chose not to be distracted. In Luke,
yes,
we have the account of how Jesus was invited to Martha's home. And he accepted the invitation. Well, if you can read into Martha's personality, she was very, she was a troubled person. And she probably wanted to prepare the best meal that she felt like she was capable of preparing for Jesus. That was probably her focus. That was her desire.
Yes.
What her motive was, if he would have liked for her to have credit for the best meal that he'd ate, I don't know what Martha's motive was altogether, but she was distracted with this meal that she was involved in. And the 38th verse of the 10th chapter. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. In other words, when he come to her house, she went and she received him in. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chose that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we have two different sisters. One of them was just perhaps so engrossed in the words that Jesus was speaking that she even forgot about food.
Yes.
That she forgot about Martha in there making the preparations for the meal. Her heart was perhaps being burned within her and enlarged in what Jesus had to say. And what if Mary said to Jesus, and she wanted to hear his answer, what if she had said, Jesus, Martha's my sister, I love her, but I don't always agree, and I don't always go along with what she is involved in. She's involved in so many things and troubled about things. Jesus, would you say something to me to help me know how to deal in love with my sister Martha? Now, I don't know if that was words that she was engrossed with, but she was listening to what Jesus had to say while Martha was in there, and maybe occasionally she'd look out and behold Mary enjoying Jesus while she's in there. They didn't have air conditioning back there. She was in a kitchen and probably maybe perspiring. And when you're cooking, you can probably get kind of tense. And she wanted everything to just turn out delicious. And, oh, she was just upset, fretting. And she got pretty feisty talking to Jesus. And she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Would you have nerve to say that to Jesus? That my sister has left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I want some help in here. This could have been a distraction to Mary, too, couldn't it? For Martha to have this attitude. She's just left me to do it all while she's enjoying your company and your words. Well, did Jesus upbraid Mary?
No.
Who got the finger pointed at him? It was Martha who was distracted with making this meal. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things."
Yes.
She had a lot of distractions.
Yes.
Have you ever went to prayer and this thought popped in your mind, Brother
Yes.
Ron? Something else come to your mind?
Yes.
Something else to distract you? And you would say some words, but your mind was distracted on. What about that scripture says a double-minded man? Somebody that's distracted, double-minded, he's unstable in all of his ways. So Mary got the compliment and Martha got the reproof. But one thing is needful. And remember this as you go from this place. It isn't your job that's so important.
Yes.
It isn't even your family that is as important. It is needful. And Mary had chose the good part. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life.
Yes, amen.
Everything else should be secondary. So, did Martha take off her apron? Did she say, "Lord, you hit the target. I am troubled. I'm bothered. I'm fretting. I need a different attitude towards Mary."
Yes.
She did, didn't she? If she'd had a right attitude, she could have been thankful Mary was enjoying Jesus. Instead of she was sitting there and she was left alone to prepare the meal. So, staying focused and not being distracted from the main thing that we are here for is for us to bring pleasure to our Creator. How many people is got this as their focus? That are not distracted with side things and things of vain and no profit. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So, as we go through life, remember, I'm here. Jesus was here, not to be a celebrity, not to have people. He was here as a servant. He was here on a mission to do the pleasure of his Father. And everyone who names the name of Christ are to be in that way. So may God bless us today. There are those who have kept focus on things that they desired. Nehemiah was a man who was focused. He had a burden for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. It was a daunting task. It was a task in which he met stiff opposition to what he was endeavoring to accomplish. The walls were broken down. There was a lot of, well, if you go through California after a major earthquake, people get their stuff out, and if there's bricks and whatever is out there to be picked up, there was a lot of rubbish. The scripture said rubbish. At one point, halfway point in this project of rebuilding the walls, the burden bearer's strength waned away. There was a conspiracy. There was fun made of it. Somebody said, well, if a fox walked on it, it'd fall down. So there was things that could distract, right?
Yes.
And they even tried to get him to abandon it and go to the plain of Ono to have a little meeting with these people. And he perceived and had discernment, nope, this is not for me to do. I'm sticking with this. I'm staying with it. And I'm focused. I'm not going to be distracted by a conspiracy.
Yes.
There was accusation against him. I wasn't going to be distracted with that. But I'm staying focused. My burden bearers are weakening, but I'm not giving up. And didn't he have his workers with a spear?
Yes.
And a brick? And can you hear him say, give us some more bricks over here. Keep this going. Don't stop. Keep the work going. We gotta go. We gotta get focused. We need to be focused that this gets completed. And I think they did get it completed, didn't they? Does anybody remember how many days they got it completed in? I believe it stated that it was 52 days. So he stayed focused. He didn't get distracted. Elisha stayed focused when he wanted the mantle and the double portion of Elijah's spirit. And it tells about that in 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, 9th verse. Well, a little background here. Elisha had been mentored by Elijah. And there was a strong bond between them. And as this bond was so strong, Elisha had a request and he had a desire. And he knew that Elisha would be taken from him. And so he was sticking with him as they traveled to the designated place where this was to happen. In the 9th verse, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing.
Yes.
Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Imagine how that words, if you don't see me, you're not going to get this. So that put a heads up in Elisha to know that I've got to stay focused. I want this. I want it badly. I need it. I want it. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Did Elisha stay focused? And Elisha saw it.
Yes.
And he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in pieces. It was an emotional time. Here he had admired and honored and looked up to Elijah as his mentor, and now he had disappeared forever from his view. And it was an emotional time, and he just took his clothes and rent them and said, "My father, my father." But he refused to be distracted, and he was able, and it said there at the first part of the 12th verse, and Elisha saw it. So he saw what he needed to keep focused on. You know, Peter, as long as he looked at Jesus,
yes,
as long as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, he did the impossible. He walked on water.
Yes.
He actually walked on water, and no human being has done that outside of Peter and Jesus.
Yes.
You can't find it in the Guinness Book of Records of anybody walking on water. They didn't do it. They won't do it. But as he failed to keep, and the waves, he got to looking at the waves instead of watching Jesus. He was looking at the waves, and he began to sink. But he cried out, and the Lord saved him.
Amen.
Peter was distracted from looking at Jesus. Do you know many people have been distracted and got their eyes off of Jesus? And have they sunk in their spiritual experience?
Yes.
It'll happen, folks.
Yes, it will.
If you get your eyes on troubles. Amen.
Amen.
And that's uppermost in your mind. If you get your eyes on people, their faults. If you get your eyes on disappointments. Anybody in here ever had disappointments?
Yes.
If you haven't, raised your hand. Don't see a hand raised. But if you get your eyes on disappointments, and that is on your mind. On your mind. Troubles, church troubles, individual troubles.
Yes.
If you think and think and think and think about it, you get your mind off of Jesus, you're going to be sinking.
Yes.
It works that way. Mm-hmm. And the enemy out there in California, Brother Dan said, talked like he wasn't good at remembering names. You remember him saying that? But if you heard him, he could remember your name. Did he say that? So, if you just keep replaying troubles, 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 this, that, and the other, negative things,
yes.
Is your eyes on Jesus?
No.
Are you sinking? You are, whether you realize it or not.
Yes.
You're weakening by getting your eyes off of Jesus and being distracted with other things. And the enemy wants to make it loom so important. If you've been hurt, does it ever try to replay and replay and replay and replay in your mind?
Absolutely.
That's a distraction.
Yes, it is.
That's time you're not thinking about what you should be thinking about. Those things that are lovely.
Yeah.
Virtuous.
Yes.
Good reports. Praiseworthy things. And this can go from the highest up spiritually all the way down. If you think about negative things, you're distracted. And may God help me to keep my focus on what I need to be thinking about. Well, Nehemiah, Elisha, Jacob kept focused when he was going to have a meeting with a brother that he had wanted to murder him because he deceived and got the blessing. And Jacob didn't feel like that he could look him in the face, and he was coming to meet Jacob. Esau was.
Yes.
Jacob had been a sneaky, deceiving person, but he didn't have a trick in his bag to pull against Esau now. And this was a critical, crucial time in Jacob's life. Realizing it, there was an angel, or the Lord, while Jacob was alone, and there was a wrestling match. The wrestling match was an uneven match to begin with, because Jacob was flesh and blood, and this being that he was wrestling with was an immortal being. He was in the driver's seat, you might say, of this wrestling match. And wrestling is very physical.
Yes.
It's more physical than football, basketball, wrestling. And one brother, and told about him and his brother, used to wrestle. The one brother went to school, and he learned about distraction. So they got into a wrestling match after this, and the brother got distracted, and he ended up, I think, on the floor. So this match of Jacob and the angel or the Lord, whoever, was going on through the night hours. And the day began to break. And he said, "Let me go." Oh, Jacob wanted this blessing. He was determined. And he had another thing to distract him. His thigh, or his bone, was put out of place. I never had that. Sometimes I've stepped in a way that it made something not right, but I've never had a bone out of joint.
Yes.
And it probably is very painful. And to try to stand on it and try to wrestle while you're standing would have been a greater challenge, would it not? But Jacob was so focused, he wouldn't let the weariness of his body, which he had to be weary, doing a physical wrestling through the night. He had to be weary, and he didn't let the pain make him turn loose because he knew he wanted that blessing. He stayed focused. He didn't allow the distractions to take his mind off to the point that he turned loose. Did it pay off? The 24th verse of the 32nd chapter, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So, it paid off, didn't it? The weariness of body didn't distract him to the point. The pain, the agony of having the bone out of joint didn't stop him. He held on. Today, if you have a loved one that's unsaved, that you're praying for and burdened for, don't be distracted. Keep on praying if God gives you that burden. Sister Denise Taylor of the Fresno, California congregation, her husband was unsaved. He was smoking weed. He was away from God. But they had a special prayer meetings in the Fresno congregation on Sunday evenings prior to the night service. I don't know how many years it went on, but Marvin Taylor, Sister Denise's husband, and it was the focus to be on unsaved husbands. And probably wives too. There's some in that congregation has unsaved wives. It was for unsaved companions. He got saved. Another brother, Sister Jennings' son-in-law, come up during a meeting and sit on the altar to be prayed for a back condition. He was talked to about saved. He ended up on his knees, and he felt like the Lord accepted him. He got up from there and walked back and didn't even have the anointing for his back. If you got an unsaved loved one that you're praying for, keep on praying.
Amen.
I have a poem about mother's elbows on my bed. How a mother prayed for her wayward son and she left the prints of her elbows on his bed.
Yes.
He went on unsaved for a while. But finally, those prayers broke him down. So, if you have a loved one that isn't saved, if you have a victory you need in your experience,
yes,
don't be distracted. Determine it that I'm going to die endeavoring to live for God.
Amen.
I won't give up. I'll never give up, and I'll never go back to the world. If you need a victory in your life, don't be distracted. Keep on trying.
Amen.
Keep on praying. May God bless you today. Those who are saved and have a desire to go to heaven, don't let anything. Family, one man was so pressured by his family to compromise. The pressure was on him.
Yes.
And one night he had a dream. In this dream, he had a cross. To get along better, he cut some of it off. Anybody read that tract? Well, it seemed to help him with his family to have the shorter cross. So he cut some more off. Was there more than one cutting? Anyway. So he come down to the ending of life in this dream. And there was life over to eternity. There was a space in between. He had to get from over here safely over here. So it come to his mind, use your cross. So he put it out there, stretched it out, but it was too short. Too short. May God help us today to keep heaven in view.
Amen.
If we're saved and serious about going to heaven, that don't mean that all the distractions. And the older you get, the enemy knows you have fewer days and fewer years, and he can intensify. I've got to get them. I don't have as much time as I had years ago. Brother Veda McMillan had some of the hardest trials and tests in his life when he was older.
Yes.
The enemy don't give up on trying to distract our minds. But the songwriter in 2:13 says, ever what? Ever keep heaven in view. There's some good advice in this song. If you have your hymnal, you can look at the words. 2:13. Pilgrim of Jesus, or life's troubled sea. Courage. Oh, that's so important. Don't be discouraged. The distractions that can come to discourage you can be powerful. But be courage. And onward pursue. Onward. Yes. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? You know, the enemy would try to sadden, cause you to be downhearted with different distractions, but he says, aren't his promises true? How needless thy sorrow. He's bidding thee now.
Yes,
ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, oh, lift up your head.
Amen.
Ask, and thy strength he will renew. How many times will Jesus come along and renew our strength? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden of above, long have been waiting for you, and soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansions above. Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Says it again, ever keep heaven in view. Courage, my brother. Courage, my sister. Right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. May God help us not to be distracted, but keep this as our goal, that we want heaven. Heaven. Sister Ruth McMakin used to have the saying, heaven bound. Heaven bound. Ever keep heaven in view, regardless to troubles, regardless to disappointments, regardless to failures in your own personal life.
Yes.
Don't be distracted. Yes. Keep heaven in view.
Amen.
Our Father, we're thankful today for Jesus. He didn't have an easy time down here. Religious people scrutinized it. His own disciples let him down. They fled. And Peter, he denied him, cursing and swearing. But you didn't let that distract you. You didn't let the trial distract you, where you were falsely accused. The sounds of crucify, crucify that echoed in his mind.
Yes.
Didn't turn him back from his mission. And as they nailed him to the cross.
Yes, Lord.
As they had that thorn crown on his head, that the thorns were an inch or maybe an inch and a half in width. And they beat it into his head, to the outer point of the skull. Blood oozing out and dripping down his face. But he still stayed on focus. He still had the Father in mind. And he said unto him, unto you I commit my spirit.
Yes.
And he was able to utter, it's finished. Lord, help us to stay in it till it's finished.
Yes, Lord.
That we won't be distracted. Oh, we know of different people that we used to see when we would go, but now we don't see their face. Lord, help that we'll all have that determination to ever keep heaven in view.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us, Lord. Bless these young people and children that they'll make heaven their goal.
Yes,
they'll give their life and they will realize I'm in this world to bring pleasure to the God who gave me life. We ask you that that will help determine their course in life and their decisions and all of our decisions. For we ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.